The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, Pep Guardiola is set to leave his position as the manager of Manchester City at the end of this season, with the former Chelsea boss Enzo Maresca expected to take his place. The news comes after months of speculation about Pep's future, even after he signed that new deal at the club in November of 2024. That was due to run until June of next year. City had hoped to keep this news under wraps until their final game against Aston Villa. But now confirmation is expected sooner than that on his exit from the club. Miguel Delaney is chief football writer at The Independent in the UK, and he joins me now. Good morning, Miguel.
Morning.
This is not confirmed yet. This is coming from Oliver Holt in the Mail. It broke last night. But are we pretty sure at this stage that he is leaving?
I mean, it's been talked about in football for months. You referenced it there. It's gone beyond speculation. I mean, look, if I'm speaking to people in football, almost every few weeks there's been some little development, there's some little thing, right up to kind of say this week, the booking of venues around Manchester, like the Co-op Live, that seems to suggest some sort of exit. Look, I mean, I think the one reason why no one has definitively said that, and before, like, I was talking to Oliver last night at Arsenal. I mean, like, obviously it's an exceptionally sore story. I suppose there's always the capacity for someone like Guardiola to change his mind. And like the line for months basically had been, he doesn't know himself yet. Although everyone was thinking, like, because he has felt like leaving a fair few times on the last 2 years. So look, we're obviously open to like we're open to Guardiola's personal whims, but I'd be very, very surprised if he was still City manager this time next week.
Okay, so that's, you think that we'll get confirmation in the coming days. So then we'll have the debate about his legacy. So does he have a case, in your view, to be cited as the greatest manager of all time?
He's got a claim. I mean, look, that sort of argument, it's always nebulous, a bit subjective. He's definitely got a very strong claim. He went in right at the top at Barcelona in 2008, immediately won a treble and basically kept winning. Like, the numbers alone, and it's over 15 years as well, to be fair to him, which is usually those sort of careers, especially someone based on some sort of tactical ideology like him, where there's a bit of a tactical revolution, they don't last as long because the rest of the game catches up a bit. He's kept going, and that's also partly because it's the reason for all those trophies. I mean, what, it's 12 domestic titles, 3 Champions Leagues, and, you know, multiple domestic cups, almost too many to count there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is actually a slight argument over whether he should have won more Champions Leagues. But there's also the reasons for all this success, which is that he's probably the most influential coach in history. I mean, like, if you want to get into the kind of the granular details of the football tactics, he basically reinterpreted the famous total football of the Dutch in the 70s and then Johan Cruyff at Barcelona in the 90s for a modern age. And basically, all of football is played the way it is in 2026 because of Guardiola. So we're talking about kind of immense trophy success and immense influence in a way, say, even like in terms of kind of pure effect, I'd still probably have Alex Ferguson ahead of him. But Alex Ferguson didn't have anything like the tactical legacy that that Guardiola does.
So it's about tactics. It's about the way he played football. It's not about all the cash he had at his disposal.
Well, see, this is the more complicated debate in all this. Like, I suppose, as I said there, the one thing about management is it's the ultimate Peter principle career in that sense. And basically, you get to a level that you're good enough at until you're found out. And Guardiola, to be fair, has never been found out. I mean, it is very difficult to stay at that sort of level because the demands are so high and you're constantly up against the best. On the other side, though, I would say that he's pretty much been, in his time, he's always been at the best placed club to succeed. Barcelona, yes, he had work to do when he went in there in 2008, but I mean, they had the Spain team that had won the Euro, or most of the Spain team that had won Euro 2008. They had a burgeoning Messi. He obviously was important in kind of in making Messi even better. Then he goes to Bayern Munich, who already by the time he took over there, they'd won a treble, including the Champions League, and we're already turning the Bundesliga into a bit of a joke. And in City, as we're talking about, well, they are, by extension of being owned by one of Abu Dhabi's most senior royals, and most people would say that means they're essentially owned by Abu Dhabi, he's at the most kind of lavishly funded football project, a sports watching project in history.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I mean, there's a few things you could say about all this. One is the purely football side, in that I suppose there's always going to be that question there, in the sense that would his football, as brilliant as it is, have worked at a level where he didn't quite have the same advantage? And it's a bit similar now, actually, with Luis Enrique at Paris Saint-Germain. Like, Paris Saint-Germain are hailed as playing the best football in the world, revolutionary. He didn't quite have this effect when he was at Celta Vigo or Roma, because at these sort of clubs, like the football they play, that Guardiola plays, it requires perfect integration. If suddenly you're missing a right back for kind of 2 months and you can't sign someone else, you don't have the strength and depth, that can fall apart and get me a lot more difficult. And that's a challenge that Guardiola has never had to face. He never had to do what Ferguson did at Aberdeen or even Mourinho did at Porto. And even, to be fair, what Mikel Arteta did at Arsenal, who like were a basket case when he took over in 2020. And then, of course, there's the other side of this. Given we are talking about Guardiola as the most... He's the biggest figure active in football. Everything he represents, he also represents kind of the most respected and kind of elevated tactical lineage in football, a real kind of football lore there. And he's chosen to work for a project for a decade that I've just described as a sports watching project. That is ultimately about the projection of the UAE's political power. And usually in these sort of situations, I mean, like, this is what my entire book is about, States of Play, or it covers a lot of this. Usually in these situations, I think players and managers are generally given a bit of a passage decision. They've got a short career. They can't really concern themselves at all the elements about who owns clubs. But I think there is a different dimension with Guardiola, A, because of what it represents, A, because of how central City made him to the project, where he was basically... so much was wrapped around his identity that his identity helped very much legitimize the political intent of all this. And then, of course, is the fact that Guardiola willingly gets political himself. I mean, laudably, I would say, he talks about Palestine a lot. But, I mean, there is a fair question to ask. Has he considered the UAE's role in what's going on at the Gulf, the relationship with Israel, the effect on Palestine through that? And by the same token, I mean, we had that fairly infamous moment back in 2018 when he delved into politics as well, when he was talking about, again, laudably talking about political repression in Catalonia. And then the question was turned on him about far worse political repression in the UAE. And he came up with some garbled comment about how every state, you know, behaves the way they want. And let's not forget as well, he also worked for Qatar, worked for Qatar, but was a mascot or kind of an ambassadorial figure for the Qatar World Cup for a while. I mean, and given we're talking about kind of football greatness in this way and all it means and all the adulation it brings, there's a fair question over how that's been used.
Yes, I see your point. And you can argue it certainly in at least two ways there, if not three, because, you know, and we don't have time to get into it now, but I mean, leaving 12 months before his contract is due to end, and people are going to say, well, what about the 115 alleged financial rule breaches that are hanging over Man City as well? Does that play a role in all of this yet to emerge? One final quick one for you. You said you were in Arsenal last night. What was that like, that match against Burnley?
Gripping tension, and not a very enjoyable football match to watch, but like a lot of Arsenal games of late, just because it's tense, it's absorbing in its own way. You mentioned the charges there, which I feel, because obviously this weighs over everything, including Arsenal's recent title challenges. Guardiola has wanted to leave for about 2 years, I'd say. City have obviously been desperate to keep him, both for what he is as a football figure and how good he is. And I mean, there has been that suggestion as well that when we eventually have the outcome, City, of course, insisting their innocence, they would have preferred a figure like Guardiola to be there. I don't think he's leaving because of that. I think he's just done.
Thanks so much, and I have to leave it there. It's great to talk to you as always. Miguel Delaney there, chief football writer with the London Independent.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.